It is. The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all across North America. You don't have to be here in Georgia. You could be in Florida. You could be in Washington State. You could be in Maine. You could be in California. You could be in Boise. You could be in Nevada, Idaho, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin. You could be in Canada. Thank you for listening. Our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, is in New York City, home of two terrible-ass football teams, the Jets and the Giants, just for clarity. We'll be here with you for the next 3 hours. We have so much to do. How about this? The Chicago Bears had a disaster today. Well, they've had a disaster for about the past month. Three-game losing streak, can't score. They have fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. This is his first year. Damn it, he didn't even make it through his first year. Anyway, Alex Shapiro is going to join us in about 20 minutes from the Chicago Sports Network. We get to ask him what the hell is wrong with the Bears, what they do next, how they could be competitive. We'll have that conversation in about 20 minutes from now. Also, later this hour, we'll talk about the Miami Dolphins. I didn't think that they would do it, but they did. They won. Yeah, they won a game. They won a game last night against the Rams. Wow. We'll get into that. How the Dolphins are doing. People think they got hope for the rest of the year. Okay. How about this? Herm Edwards, former NFL coach, college coach. He's going to join us next hour. Oh, yeah. By the way, he employed Antonio Pierce with them Sun Devils. We get to ask him about Antonio Pierce and get his thoughts on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are getting healthy. We got a lot to do. The college football playoff. The second round or the second edition of the rankings are going to be in about, I don't know, an hour, 90 minutes from now. That should be fun, right? See how far Georgia has fallen. See if Colorado continues to rise up. Be fun. And how about the Joel Embiid? This man is warming up on a basketball court. It appears that Joel Embiid is going to play basketball tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers as they take on the New York Knicks. A strange sight. Klay Thompson will be back in Golden State as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. That will certainly be a strange sight. So we have a lot to get into. If you want to be a part of the show, it's simple. 855-212-4227 is the number. That's 855-212-4227. 27. You can find me on the internet everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Thank you to everybody listening on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. Everybody on Sirius XM 158. People listening on a smart speaker. And of course, the Odyssey app, which I will tell you again, is free. F-R-E-E. Free on the Odyssey app. Man, oh man, oh man. Hickey, I can't believe Joel Embiid is about to play basketball. Wow.
Same, and I honestly, until I actually see it, until the ball is tipped, I'm not going to believe it.
Do you think, how many games, what is this, November? How long before he gets hurt next? 2 weeks, a week, today?
I will not say today. I do think 2 weeks, I mean, that leads us right to around Thanksgiving time.
Okay.
Doesn't that feel pretty accurate, right? I mean, still not done a lot, ramping up. Maybe it's a hamstring. Maybe he's just general soreness. We know how cautious the Sixers are. I would say by Thanksgiving, we hear something else about Embiid.
I know he is a new citizen. He's been here since he was a teenager. But I know he's, bottom line is, he's from Cameroon. Is Thanksgiving his favorite holiday, Hickey?
I know it's Zion Williamson's favorite holiday.
Is it Thanksgiving? Yeah. Well, okay.
Ryan, you got to think. I don't know about Embiid, right? I mean, he has talked about his diet slimming down. All he doesn't right. seem like he, like...
He looks the same to me.
But I don't think I'd ever call him fat. He's just big.
Yeah, he's big. He's
huge.
Why does Allen Iverson have on... Oh, he's wearing Astros gear. I'm like, why is he wearing blue and orange at the Sixers game against the Knicks? But it's Astros. Okay.
Yeah. Why is he wearing Astros gear at a Sixers game?
It's Allen Iverson. He just wears whatever, right?
I guess. I mean, if you're going to wear a sports team, wouldn't you think you'd wear the one that you played for?
Allen Iverson just goes outside and he's fashionable. Whatever, I guess, right?
I guess fashion trumps, you know, team loyalty.
Well, Allen Iverson, fashion icon, right? Tattoos, cornrows, yeah, just wear what you want. Yeah, Allen Iverson, do what you want. Anyway, Allen Iverson could play for the Sixers today. I think he'd be better off than Joel Embiid in the health department. We know Allen Iverson, man, that guy, he got beat to a pulp and just played through everything. Smallest guy out there on the floor. So yeah, all the best to Joel Embiid. We don't want to see anybody hurt. And Joel Embiid comes back and Zion goes down. Kevin Durant goes down. Chet Holmgren goes down. Hickey, did I miss anybody? No, right? Just about it.
Ja Morant went down.
Are you serious? When? Last night?
Went down over the weekend, didn't he? Did I miss something?
Nah, Ja Morant's okay. He's good.
But he's out for like a week or two.
Morant? No. I think he's fine.
Am I bugging? Jeez, my apologies if so.
No, no more shotgun willies, right? Is that where you went?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, no, yeah, he has a hamstring injury.
Oh, my God. A brutal injury on Ja Morant? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Are you... What are we doing?
He's got a grade one pelvic muscle strain.
Oh, no. Terrible. You get those injuries, there's certain things you can't do. Oh, man. Ouch. Can't ride a bicycle.
No, you can't.
You cannot do that. Are these guys, are they drinking water? Like, what's going on, man? Everybody hamstring, pelvic this. At least Chet Holmgren has an excuse for his injury. He needs to eat. He needs to do the opposite of what Zion is doing. He needs to eat and Zion needs to stop. They need to exchange diets. That's what they need to do. Chet Holmgren wouldn't be breaking bones in his feet. What did he break? His hip? Shame.
In a painful way.
Yeah, he was in the air. Man, Hickey, somebody got to tell that skinny-ass man stop jumping, okay? Like, you ain't built to be jumping and then falling. Oh, my God. It's like he jumps in the air and he falls and you know he's going to break something. It's like he got no meat. Needs some meat on his bones. Anyway, hey, good luck to all the injured-ass NBA players. It's November. Y'all have until, I don't know, April. Most of you. Some of you. Good luck. Anyway, it's somebody that has nothing in front of them. And when I say nothing, it's probably the end of his career with his team. I'm talking about Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. We know the New York Giants have been pathetic. They've been pitiful. This is a football team that just went to Germany. You go to Germany and it's not vacation. They're playing football. But you want to have a beer. You want to have some strudel. You want some schnitzel. You want to put on, do I want to do this to the man? Marv Albert would love the lederhosen. Yeah, you want to try the lederhosen. Hickey, I was on a train in Germany and I was up in the Bavarian mountains. And it's amazing. They had on the lederhosen. They were on the train with me. They had on the lederhosen.
So that's just normal German attire out there.
I don't know.
For some,
yeah, I don't know. I never saw a lederhosen in my life outside of the Keebler elves. But now I saw these guys. I'm like, oh, they have on lederhosen. And they were going, listen, let me tell you. Some of the best pastries I've ever had in my life was up in them Bavarian mountains, Hickey. It's like Hansel and Gretel, for real. Like, you go up the lush green mountains, you're in a mountain, and you walk into, it looks like an outhouse, but it's full of pastries, and it's amazing. It's great.
They got good chocolate up there, right?
Oh, my goodness. A good what?
Chocolate?
Chocolate? I don't know. I didn't have chocolate, mostly the fruits, you know, the pastries.
Okay.
Like the awful, like these are the better version of what you'd get from the corner store, you know?
Like the Danishes, etc.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is real. This is the real stuff.
The authentic.
Yes. Not 99 cents of sugar stuffed into a plastic bag.
You tell me that's not authentic? Come on, that wasn't baked fresh this morning?
What's the expiration date?
There is none.
Hickey, I've walked into some New York City corner stores. You pick up a honey bun. Man, is this a honey bun or a frisbee?
And the expiration date says it's good for another 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Cat is sitting on a honey bun. Honey bun was brought in 5 months ago. It has another 5 months to go until it expires. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, I'm sure the New York Giants didn't have a fun experience in Germany. I'm sure they didn't go into the mountains of, I think they played in Munich. They didn't go further north. They just suffered. They went to Germany and lost to the Panthers. Hopefully, and they don't even, Hickey, that's right, they don't serve alcohol on the planes, right? No.
No, can't do that. At least,
you would think after a transcontinental flight, after you lose a football game, y'all going to be in the air for about 6-7 hours. You can't give them a beer in the first hour of the flight and then just say, okay, guys, that's it? Come on. You got to give them a bone.
I mean, you could give it to them without, you know, broadcasting it, without letting everyone know that you're drinking.
Oh, okay. All right. New York Giants had to suffer on a plane ride back too. Poor guys. They now have a record of 2-8. Panthers beat them 20-17 in Germany. Had to go to Germany and be an embarrassment. And now Daniel Jones, who's been the New York Giants quarterback since 2019. His time is up. This man has been concussed. This man has torn his ACL. He got himself a $160 million contract because he and Saquon Barkley went to the postseason and beat the Minnesota Vikings in a round. And then the New York Giants had no choice but to give him a deal. Now they got no choice but to move on because Daniel Jones cannot find his receivers. And I know a lot of people have said over the years, Daniel Jones, the Giants screwed him up, but if he had help and weapons. No, he just sucks by himself, okay? If I put Daniel Jones in the state fair, and I said, bro, I need you to knock over, you know, the milk containers. Couldn't do it. You'd be hitting people on the side of the head. It's not just the fact that he doesn't have anybody to throw to. It's that he also sucks in decision making. I can show you a Daniel Jones lowlight reel, and it would probably be longer than the highlights. This man got tackled by the grass because he was running too fast. I don't know if that's complimentary. Oh, he runs so fast. But he tripped and fell. Where's the coordination? He's going to be a backup somewhere. And so after weeks and weeks and weeks of the head coach Brian Daboll telling everybody, Daniel Jones is our starting quarterback. I guess it took a trip to Germany for him to realize he's not our guy. Because Brian Daboll was just asked, are you going to bench Daniel Jones for Mason Rudolph? Listen to what he said.
What we'll do is we'll go back, we'll evaluate the tape, and we'll make the decision that we think is best for our team. Joe and I communicate with our ownership group on a daily basis, not just about the quarterback, but about every position. So there's good communication there. We'll do what we normally do. If there are any changes, regardless of the position, is we'll always communicate.
Hey, Hickey, I'm mixing up my backup white quarterbacks. I'm mixing them up. Oh, man.
Highlights are all forgettable.
Mason replaced the other terrible white QB, right?
Mitch Trubisky in Pittsburgh. Oh, no, sorry. Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. See, I'm mixing them up myself.
Well, no. Wait. Rudolph, he's backing up Levis.
Yes, in Tennessee. And last year, he was backing up Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh.
Right. And so now Drew Locke is backing up Daniel Jones.
After backing up Geno Smith last year in Seattle.
Yes, and I remember the New York Giants did the whole fancy, let's take a picture of you signing a contract, and then he got hurt. That I do remember. Wow. You know what? This is real bad, Hickey. Damn. This is real bad. Only thing missing is just asking, or too late to trade. Only thing worse is having Jacoby Brissett on the team, but he's rotting away behind Drake May right now. This is sad. Brian Daboll, now, speaking of someone who lost weight, he lost a lot of weight. This man is probably having a drink. They may fire him. They may fire Joe Shane. Joe Shane's own kids were telling him, man, get a quarterback in the draft. If you can get one, get one. This is bad for the New York Giants. Well, this is bad for Daniel Jones. Welcome to Backup City. He can still keep his number with Drew Locke. He can ask for experience and tips next year. As he's an NFL backup somewhere else. It stinks. Adam Schefter, he was on ESPN radio today. And he actually said, man, we shouldn't expect to see Daniel Jones the rest of the year.
I would guess that we don't see Daniel Jones play another down for the Giants. That would be my guess right now. Because Brian Daboll's tone yesterday was different than it was in other weeks. It was always Daniel Jones is our starter, Daniel Jones is our starter, Daniel Jones is our starter. And then yesterday, we're evaluating everything. And we're evaluating everything in our bye week, and we have the worst record in football, and Daniel Jones has a $23 million injury guarantee. And just as we saw Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo be benched last year and Derek Carr the year before to not risk those players getting hurt, I think we're looking at the same thing with Daniel Jones right now. I think that when they get back from the bye, they'll turn to Drew Lock as their restarting quarterback. Daniel Jones will be put on ice as insurance. And my guess today would be that the Daniel Jones experience time in New York is over, because they can't risk, I don't believe, having a guy out there right now with a $23 million injury guarantee that you're not going to be committed to next year.
Yeah, they don't need him getting tackled by the turf and injuring himself. But goodbye, Daniel Jones. You could thank David Gettleman for your New York experience. He probably should have never even been the New York Giants quarterback, but there you have it. Another Dave Gettleman experiment going down the tubes. And the New York Giants going down the tubes. At least if you want to find some type of solace, if the New York Giants continue to be bad, if they continue to be awful, they can end up with the number one overall pick. Right now, both they and the Jacksonville Jaguars have records of 2-8. It pays to be bad. And good luck to the New York Giants. Yeah, just be embarrassed the rest of the way. Be embarrassed. And take Shador Sanders. Not happening. Hickey, you think they take Shador? Not a chance in hell.
No, I think there's a chance.
The New York Giants?
They need a quarterback.
Wow. Wow. You know what, Hickey? We'll talk about this later on in the show. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's have a chat with someone who is witnessing another quarterback disaster, this time in Chicago. Alex Shapiro is going to join us from the Chicago Sports Network to talk about Caleb Williams, Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron, and what's going wrong with the Bears. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we're about halfway through the NFL season. We got coaches getting the boot. We got coaches being warned. We have offensive coordinators being shown the door. And just like a Shane Waldron earlier today, the former offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears losers of three straight games, cannot find the end zone. And now they move forward with their rookie quarterback, Matt Eberflus, an offense trying to keep him upright, an offensive line that is porous, to talk about what's going on with the Bears and where they can go here for the rest of the season and beyond. Joining us is Alex Shapiro from the Chicago Sports Network. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, JR?
I'm very well. Thank you for taking the time and joining us. I guess right out of the gate, Shane Waldron gets the boot today. To be expected after what they've done, or too short notice given the fact he hasn't even had the job for a year?
You know, I think it was clear that this was going to happen, to be quite honest. After that kind of disaster against the Commanders, where there's a fumble, you know, with a backup guard getting the ball at the goal line, you know, the Hail Mary kind of covered that up. And the Bears offense just never really got back on track after that moment. Something needed to change. This felt like the change that was going to be made. So not entirely surprising, to be honest, even though, you know, it did happen after, you know, I mean, he was hired this offseason, so he didn't even have a full season on the job.
Yeah, Alex, and you think about the chain of command, chain of just accountability for Eberflus. Is he kind of lined up next at the end of the season? What keeps him in the seat come January?
Absolutely. If things don't get turned around soon, you've got to imagine his seat is going to be very hot. And it's fair to question the hiring process that led to the hiring of Shane Waldron after you let him go after less than a year, right? You went through a hiring process and landed on Luke Getsy. He lasted two seasons, and then Luke Getsy's already out with the Raiders. Then you go through this hiring process again, and you land on Shane Waldron. So Matt Eberflus is 0-2 hiring offensive coordinators. So yeah, you know, there deserves to be a critical eye on that process and how he's landing on those guys. And, you know, the Bears' second half of the season is tough. If they don't look better over the second half of the year, you have to imagine Eberflus will be on the hot seat.
Alex Shapiro was joining us from the Chicago Sports Network. Well, let's climb a little bit higher. What does this mean for Ryan Poles? Does he get kind of like to sit back and watch the fires burn over there? Like, he has to be feeling it too, no?
I think there is some valid criticism you could put onto Ryan Poles' shoulders as well. You know, I think GMs probably get, you know, two quarterbacks, two coaches, it feels like. And this is one and one for him since he inherited Justin Fields, right? Caleb Williams is really his first quarterback, and Matt Eberflus was his first head coach. But, you know, part of the issues with the offense, you know, Shane Waldron deserves his share of the blame for where things have gone wrong. You know, at times Caleb Williams hasn't looked great, but that's kind of also been expected as a rookie quarterback. You know, Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud have kind of reset expectations for rookies, but those are kind of the exceptions and not the rules. So Caleb Williams doesn't play great, but the offensive line has also struggled at times, and the depth hasn't been good. You know, they have been banged up front, but they haven't had answers when guys go down. And, you know, this is a next-man-up league, and offensive line injuries should be expected, right? They happen to every team all the time, every season. And the offensive line just has not been, you know, up to snuff in certain moments, whether it's missed assignments, whether it's combo blocks. I mean, the pre-snap penalties on the offensive line are piling up. So there's plenty of blame to go around. And when you look at the way the Bears were built, they have so much invested in their skill players, right? There's so much talent between DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift. I can go on and on and on and on. But if the guys up front aren't blocking well enough, if the scheme up front isn't up to snuff, you know, some of that has to fall on Ryan Poles' shoulders as well.
Well, Alex, let me ask you this. Back to the guys that are on the field, specifically Caleb Williams. We saw the season for him a start off flat. Then we saw his touchdown and interception ratio shift as they moved to four victories. And now we've seen the offense completely fall flat. What is your evaluation when it comes down to him outside of the offensive line? Who he's been able to connect with, how long he's held the ball? What do you see when you watch Caleb Williams?
Well, you know, to be honest, so I actually just rewatched the Cardinals and the Patriots game, the All-22 today. And I feel like I have seen a little bit of a regression from Caleb Williams. You know, he had been so good throwing the ball on time in the rhythm of the offense. And there are moments where he's still doing that over the past two games where he's hitting the back of the drop, he's throwing the ball with anticipation, and everything looks perfect. But then there are times where he is not throwing the ball to open receivers. It seems like he's seeing them and he's deciding not to pull the trigger, or he's waiting a moment too soon to pull the trigger, and that allows a defender to close the gap and make a pass breakup. There are times where, you know, his pocket presence is starting to, you know, take a hit, you know, because he's getting hit. You can feel that clock speeding up and you can see his eyes falling down, where previously he had been so good about keeping his eyes up. So, you know, rookie quarterbacks, it's always going to be a roller coaster. That's something we've talked about a lot in Chicago. Like, this is going to be a roller coaster with Caleb Williams, and he seems to be at kind of the downswing. So, yeah, he hasn't looked as exceptional as he did earlier. But again, Shane Waldron wasn't doing him any favors at times. At times, his playmakers weren't doing him any favors, where you watch a play, Caleb Williams hits the back of his drop, the protection is good, and nobody's open.
Mm.
You know, whether it's guys not beating their man or just too many long developing routes where there's not a quick outlet, right? There were so many times where they're running verts to take a shot, and shot plays are great. You got to take your shots, but there's no check down option. There's no quick outlet if a guy isn't winning downfield. You know, it's like everybody running downfield, and if nobody's winning, then Caleb Williams has nowhere to go with the ball. there were times where, you know, Shane Waldron is trying to move the pocket, but the way in which he's getting the that pocket moved outside of the tackle box, it was just really ineffective. We were seeing multiple receivers in the same spot at times, which obviously brings defenders to those same spots. And then to touch on the chemistry that you mentioned, the chemistry has looked rough throughout the season, and that's just something that comes with reps. You know, I think it's actually been kind of slow developing with Keenan Allen. Picked up a little bit lately, but I think that chemistry with Keenan Allen has been slow developing. I think the chemistry with DJ Moore at times has been slow developing. Interestingly, the other rookie, Rome Odunze, those two look like they built a bit of a rapport more quickly. I don't know if it's because they are two rookies in the same class and, you know, had a little bit, you know, of extra time together in the offseason. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, there have been chemistry issues as well where it's like Caleb Williams is throwing to a spot where he thinks his guy is going to be and his guy is a step behind or breaks off a route a little bit differently. Right. You know, all of those things were to be expected. We thought those things were going to become. Those were the bumps in the road we expected. But now, you know, 10, 11 weeks into this thing, those chemistry issues, it's clear they're still working on it, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this, Alex. We took a call last hour before you joined us. It was pretty much, oh, my God, here the Chicago Bears go, ruining another quarterback, just like they did to Justin Fields. Are you sounding any alarm bells that this could be a tanking situation, that they're tanking this guy?
I'm not there yet because we haven't even made it through a full season. It will be really interesting to see how the Bears move forward with the offensive plan. I think, you know, if they make changes now and the changes work and they give Caleb Williams some easy throws, some easy answers, you know, those moments where I'm saying like he's hitting the back of the drop and nobody's open, if they can scheme some of that open so that he hits the back of the drop and somebody is always open, then obviously the change is great. But if they make this change to Thomas Brown and then, you know, they got a new offensive coordinator over the offseason and then it takes two seasons for that to come together and, oh, actually it wasn't working out and now you are doing the same thing that kind of happened with Justin Fields, then I'll start to sound the alarm bells. But 10 weeks, you know, we're in week 11 now, into this guy's professional career, I'm not ready to panic yet.
Well, Alex, final question for you. What do you expect from the Chicago Bears the rest of the way? There was some postseason optimism by some. It don't look like that's going to be the case. What do you see happening the rest of the way?
I do not see postseason in the Bears' future. Unless Thomas Brown, as I said, like can really turn things around. Now, I will say, the Bears' offense felt like it did not have an identity. It was like this hodgepodge of ideas. But one thing recently that has seemed to work has been running the ball under center, single back, DeAndre Swift just getting north-south. That looked like it's worked. If they can identify, hey, this is our identity, let's build something around this specifically. And if the defense can, you know, take away and score on defense, that's something that they were doing. You know, they were taking the ball a lot during that hot stretch. If they can, you know, get that takeaway in bunches happening thing happening again and get a little bit more consistency on offense, I do think that the Bears can play better football again. Uh-huh. Am I saying they're going to be a playoff team? No. But, you know, I do think that they can at least build some good momentum through their divisional schedule, through the second half of the season, so that you're entering the off season on an up note. I still think that is possible. That is, you know, a potential outcome here. Could they flame out? I mean, that absolutely could happen too. So it remains to be seen how the rest of the season will play out. But I do think that the Bears can get their legs under them again and start playing better football again.
Okay. Well, Alex, let's see what they do, if they do enough to keep Matt Eberflus in his seat. Alex, where can people follow you and your work with the Chicago Sports Network?
You can follow me at Alex Shapiro, CHSN, on X. On Instagram, I'm at ASHAP, CHSN. And then, you know, watch our channel. Tune into our website. We got great stuff. We're putting a ton of content out on our social handles. You can also reach me at the Charter Podcast. It used to be known as the Under Center Podcast, but we've rebranded the Charter Podcast, and I'm there as well. So if you want Bears content from me, you can find it many different places.
Amazing. Well, that's why they didn't select you as offensive coordinator. You're too damn busy.
Yes, that's true. I don't need another title added to my name, even though it seems like the Bears would be looking for a new passing game coordinator soon. I'm too busy. Sorry, Bears. You got to look elsewhere.
Hey, Alex, appreciate the time. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. You have a good one.
You as well. That Alex Shapiro from the Chicago Sports Network, possibly a future passing game coordinator for the Chicago Bears. Maybe Alex could run the whole team. Maybe give it to not too much longer. Maybe a cleaning house. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Oh, my goodness. Hickey, it's not a lie. Joel Embiid, he did lose weight. He lost weight. He did.
Really? It's noticeable, huh?
I'm looking at him, yeah. He's not as heavy in the upper body and chest. He's still a giant guy. He's never going to be cut from, I don't know. What do they say, steel? Is that what it is? Cut from steel?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to go backwards, but no, you could see that he has thinned out a little bit. I don't know how much of a benefit that is going to be for him the rest of this year. Let's see what he does. New York Knicks, Philadelphia 76ers getting ready to tip off. Thank you again to Alex Shapiro. In an hour from now, we're going to have a chat with former NFL head coach, former college coach, former player, and current analyst on ESPN, all things football, Herman Edwards. He's going to come through and join us next hour.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And thank you so much to Alex Shapiro for joining us in the last break from the Chicago Sports Network. We took a look at the disaster that is the Chicago Bears firing their offensive coordinator today. And I said this, Alex said this, I think most reasonable people would say this. Any thought of the Chicago Bears making it to the postseason, throw it out the window. Especially the fact that they have to compete in the NFC North. No, not with the Vikings and Green Bay and, of course, the Lions. You can forget about that. I'm going to tell you about another team that I think is delusional. They actually won a game last night. How about this? This is what you call a segue. You ready for this? Okay. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. Dolphins linebacker Anthony Walker Jr. This man had a big night. This guy had an interception. He was second on the team with 9 tackles as Miami took down the Rams 23-15 on Monday Night Football. Walker has played a solid part in Miami's pass defense, being ranked 8th in the league as the Dolphins kept their playoff hopes alive with a win. You heard me correctly. A 2-16. Well, they entered last night 2-6. They left 3-6, beating up on those Rams. Their playoff hopes are still alive. How about that? Now, did I expect them to beat the Rams? No. I didn't choose them last night. I thought the Rams were going to win at home. Didn't happen. All things considered, the game was kind of boring. And then at the end, it just seemed like the Rams, they were playing the chase, chasing the Dolphins, trying to get back into the game, and the Dolphins just kept extending the lead. It wasn't the greatest NFL game to watch last night. It wasn't awful, but it was just like, man, the Rams ain't catching them. And Tua Tagovailoa went out there, 207 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. And Tyreek Hill even had a touchdown. He didn't have much of a night, 3 catches for 16 yards. But the part that gets me is the Rams are now 4-5. Forget them. The part that gets me is that there were so many Dolphins talking about how they could go on a run to the postseason. Oh, my goodness. Why? Forget all of it. Just win a game at a time. Don't talk about the postseason. Don't talk about going on a streak. Don't talk about going on a stretch run now that Tua is back. Throw all of that out the window. Dolphins are not doing it. They're a waste of time team. I'm sorry. Anybody who has hope in the Dolphins to turn around, they need to get drug tested. The way Saquon Barkley last week did that backwards hurdle, they immediately drug tested him. You need to get drug tested if you think the Miami Dolphins stand a chance to do anything this year. Come on now, stop. Please. After the game, Jalen Ramsey, cornerback, very opinionated. He had an opinion on what they need to do to turn their season around after they started 2-6. Listen to this.
Belief, that's the very first thing. Everybody got to believe, and I think we do have a group that believes. I think we showed that tonight in times where there was adversity that happened, and then, you know, we had trust and belief in each other, in the different units, and like I said, played some complimentary ball at times. I think if we continue to grow and build off that type of thing, off those type of things, then yeah, we can be a team that controls our own destiny.
Oh man, and trust and belief. Oh man, trust and belief ain't gonna win y'all no football games, okay? Trust and belief. Not quite. Pretty sad. Well, that's Jalen Ramsey, right? Outspoken, opinionated. What about a veteran? What about somebody like Calais Campbell? Yeah, older than Jalen Ramsey, much older. Calais Campbell, he's been around longer than some of these NFL teams have been around. I'm exaggerating, but the fact remains. Even Calais Campbell has a thought about how the Dolphins can turn things around.
The hard part is, how do you continue this? You know, how do you keep building on it? You know, but you know, like we said in the meetings, you know, to create a wildfire, all it takes is one spark. You know, so we just gotta keep believing, keep fighting, and keep making a run for it.
Oh man, is it just me? I don't know. We heard from a veteran. We heard from a younger guy in his prime. What about the quarterback? Like, what is Tua saying? I mean, Tua's been knocked around quite a bit. Maybe he has a different thought.
The resilience of this team with the external noise, everyone counting us out. You know, hopefully this is an opportunity for us to not waste. You know, hopefully we can go on a run with this win and find our rhythm towards the back end of the season now.
Hopefully. Oh, my goodness. The Tua should get, I guess you could say, some type of a break, right? He's had to deal with all those concussions. Listen to the Dolphins' next opponents. They have Las Vegas. Okay, beat them. They have New England. Go ahead and beat them. Okay, maybe I understand why they feel confident. Maybe they can move their record to 5-6. They got Green Bay. Not going to be easy. They have the New York Jets. I don't care what the Jets' record looks like. They're not that big of a quitters. They'll be competitive against Miami, maybe. Houston is going to be competitive despite all of their injuries. They got San Francisco. They have the Browns. I don't know what the hell to expect from them. And they finished the season up against the Jets. So I guess if you look at the Jets twice and you laugh, and you look at Cleveland and you laugh, you look at Las Vegas and you laugh, you look at New England and you laugh, there might be reason to think that they'll finish at or around 500. And they just might. But I got to tell you this, that's not going to be enough to get them into the postseason. I think the Miami Dolphins, they are just, they're comical right now. I'm sorry. The Las Vegas and New England, they could win both of those games and I'm not going to feel any different. And even if they were to get into the postseason, we've seen what the Dolphins have done. Come on, do we need to do this again? Let's put them in a game in the postseason where the temperature is below, I don't know, 50 degrees. And let's just send them home packing. At least the good thing for them is that they go back to Milwaukee instead of, not Milwaukee, they go back to Miami instead of being in some cold-ass city like Milwaukee. Come on now. They're going to finish around 500. I think they might finish just below 500. And that's just to say that they make it through the season healthy. Come on, Tyreek Hill was saying last night that, oh, my wrist has been bothering me since the police slapped those cuffs on me and unjustifiably threw me to the ground. Tua Tagovailoa, every game is one hit away. Been dealing with injuries all over the place to their running backs, and I don't trust the Dolphins. I'm sorry. Hickey, do you feel different? Are they going to the postseason?
No, they're not. No, they're not. Like you said, the next two games are very winnable, and they should be a 5-6. And you read that schedule. Whole lot of losses, and you're right. That's assuming they take care of the Jets both times. Assuming nobody gets hurt, we're talking about, at best case, an 8-9 Dolphins team.
Yeah.
They're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not good enough. You got to have hope. Living in Miami isn't good enough, Hickey. They got to have something to hope for, I guess.
I guess maybe that's the problem. You're right. The sunshine and the beautiful people and all the things to do in Miami every single day is not enough to keep everybody entertained.
Yeah. Nope. Hmm. Not enough. Here's something else. The Miami Dolphins are soft. I'm just saying, they're just soft. The Miami Dolphins are going to be a good team when they become a bruising team. Not a fast-ass team playing in the sun. No. Gotta beat people up in the wintertime. It's the JR Sportbrief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about a team that beats people up in the winter, in the summer, in the spring, the fall. They beat people up even when there's no football. We're going to talk about the Chiefs because they're getting healthy. Herman Edwards, former NFL head coach, ESPN analyst, is going to join us as well. Don't move. JR Sportbrief Show.